What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Auburn Daily Show, the Wednesday edition of the Auburn Daily Show. I am Dylan Lark, at Your Boy Take on Twitter, and I'm joined today by Mr. Andrew Stefaniak. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. How are you doing today?
I'm doing all right. We got a little transfer portal tracker going on because that's all we can talk about nowadays because it's nonstop, always going on. And some huge news. Auburn got another body for that offensive line, Jaden Muskrat. The 6 foot, I believe, 6 foot six, 303-pound offensive guard. There we go, offensive guard. I'm gonna say tackle from Tulsa, and I'll let you hit it off. What are your immediate thoughts on Jaden Muskrat?
Yeah, with Muskrat, you know, you look at the PFF grades, and they're not great. But the thing about him is he's an experienced player who's played on a Division I offensive line for a few years now. And he knows the offensive system because he played, of course, for Philip Montgomery, who's Auburn's new offensive coordinator. So there's a lot to be excited with him. And it adds another key thing, depth. Auburn needs a lot of depth on the offensive line. It's not something we've had a lot of lately, especially during the previous regime. So having depth at the offensive line is going to be huge for this team. And Muskrat's going to fight for a starting spot. I'm not sure if he's going to win one. But the fact that a quality offensive lineman is coming to the Plains from the transfer portal and we're talking about him as potentially not a starter shows how far this program has come just in the last few months.
Yeah, and you talk about him transferring into a very loaded guard room. And whether or not you want to use loaded as the loaded in the good way or loaded in the bad way, that's up to you. But if we look at this offensive line as a whole, we have three guys already set in stone. That is, they have three positions already planned out, etched in stone. Dylan Wade is your left tackle. Avery Jones is your center. And your right tackle is, of course, Gunnar Britton, who, if you've listened to Auburn Daily Show, you know that everyone is a huge fan of Gunnar Britton. But the guard room, it's loaded. You have Connor Liu, who is taking snaps of the guard. He's a center by trade. He's kind of like the Auburn football version of Ike Irish. It's like he's a catcher by trade, but he'll play first base. So not a little baseball innuendo for that. Then you have Tate Johnson, another center who moved over to the guard position. Isaiah Miller also coming in as a guard-type player. I'm blanking all these guys now. There's so many. Jaden Muskrat, of course, coming in as well. Where does he fit into this guard room as it stands right now?
You know, it's going to come down to some different variables. I think that there are some really talented players already a part of this room. I have been really high on Jeremiah Wright. I've been saying for months now, people have not been talking enough about Jeremiah Wright. What he did at the end of the year last year, he's just a bully. I mean, he's a mean guy. I mean, if you are on the other side of that line, he's going to put you on the ground and not feel bad about it one bit. He's got that dog in him, as we like to say, in reference to offensive linemen. And that's what you need at the SEC. Connor Liu, of course, true freshman, highly touted recruit interior offensive linemen aren't always ranked as high as tackles. So he wasn't a crazy high-ranked recruit, but for an interior offensive lineman, he's a really highly touted guy. And he's had a great spring. Coaches are really excited about him. I think that he's going to play a role here. I don't know if he's a starting guard this year, but he will be in the future if he's not the center next year after Avery Jones moves on. But if I had to predict Jaden Muskrat's role, I think that he's going to – I think it's hard to say. It's truly a toss-up. I think it wouldn't shock me if he worked in as a starting tackle. But frankly, if I had to guess who I think are going to be the tackles, I'm going to have to go with Tate Johnson because the coaching staff just loves him. Hugh Freeze has been very adamant about his love for – Tate Johnson over these last few months. Of course, he went down with an injury. All reports on that sound like he should be good to go by the time the season starts, so there shouldn't be any concerns there. But if I had to predict the starting guards, I'm going to go Tate Johnson, probably right, and then Jeremiah Wright at left guard because that's, you know, what he did last year. And I think that's a heck of an offensive line room all around.
Yeah, not to mention Cameron Stutz and Jaden Muskrat would be coming off the bench in that part. And I think you'd give Connor Liu that little bit of a red shirt. I'd probably get him in a little bit, but not too much because, of course, you want to get him in all 4 years at your center position. But it does beg the question, what does this mean for Peyton Thorne? He's finally looking at a offensive line that is worth standing behind, and that's something that he has not seen in his two at least 2 years at Michigan State, even when they went 11-2, that offensive line was bad. And Auburn, for the most part, has had a pretty bad offensive line since 2017. And right now, with Hugh Freeze, Jake Thornton, Phillip Montgomery, which obvious ties between Phillip Montgomery and two of these offensive linemen now on the roster, is his confidence any higher than it was when he first entered the transfer portal, knowing that he is now on a team that cares about the offensive line and protecting their quarterback?
I think that is a resounding yes, especially knowing that Peyton Thorne is going to be around for 2 years. We'll have him. He'll be our, assuming he wins the job, which I'm very much in the camp that he will. We'll have him this year, and he'll start for us next year, which will be perfect because that'll get Walker White in and let him develop. But if I'm Peyton Thorne, I'm tired of looking at the sky after I've been sacked 40 times each game. I want to go somewhere where I can sit in the pocket and just pick a defense apart and find my receivers, my open receivers. And with this offensive line that we have at Auburn now, I think he's found that. He's found that home where he's going to be able to truly show his potential because he's going to have time to throw the football before his offensive linemen are back in his face because they're getting pushed back so quickly. And I think, you know, Peyton Thorne's a great quarterback. Everyone, no one disagrees with that. But I think what he's going to do this year is prove to us that he's a really, really, really good quarterback, not just a good quarterback. So I think definitely the offensive line play and how much Coach Freeze has shown that he cares about revamping this offensive line had to play a big part in landing Thorne, because Thorne has to say, you know, I'm going to be here. A few of these guys are going to be gone after this season, but I know Coach Freeze has my back and he's going to get me some new troops to block for me. And I think there's a lot to be excited about if I'm Peyton Thorne coming to play the rest of my college football career on the Plains.
And you mentioned a good thing about that, having time to get it to his wide open receivers. And receivers are a room that Auburn has been very adamant on trying to get more and more bodies in. We got Caleb Burton last week. And, I mean, if you count all the other guys, you got Nick Marner and a few guys as freshmen who were coming in and you won't see this year. But there are a few other guys that have been rumored around the horn that they have a little bit of an interest in Auburn, like, and maybe a little bit more than most. So you looked at it, Keon Coleman, we're starting to see might be a little bit of a drop off. I think Florida State is probably going to be the team that picks up Keon Coleman, but the two guys that would make an excellent addition to this Auburn team, Jair Shorter and Montana Lamonius Craig, who, again, Montana Lamonius Craig is one of the greatest names in college football history, let alone just this year. But yeah, so what are your thoughts on these two guys? I know Jair Shorter, you had a nice little fun stat line that was really cool.
Yeah, Shorter, he's a fun player. He's the kind of player that if he was in the NFL right now, I'd love to shove in my flex for fantasy football, because he is what we call boom or bust. Shorter last season at North Texas caught 23 passes. 11 of those receptions were touchdowns for over 600 yards. Actually, I'm pretty sure it was close to 700 yards. That stat line, I looked at it and I put my phone down and I went, no, that I read that wrong. And I looked back at it and I was like, nope, that is correct. That was his stat line. I love this guy as a player. Shorter, he's explosive. He can win the 50-50 balls. He can beat you just flat out on a go route. He took some snaps last year. He took most of his snaps on the outside, but he did take some snaps on the inside. He graded out really well on PFF over, I think it was 71. So Shorter's a player, I hope. If I had to pick between him and Lamonius Craig, I would take Shorter. Now, I would potentially want Lamonius Craig just for the name, because as we've just discussed, it's awesome. But I like Shorter. I'm really in on him as a player, and I think he's a guy that could come in and start for this team right now. And he would be getting a boost in quarterback play to where if he can get open, he's going to be getting passes in it between the numbers from a great quarterback like Peyton Thorne. You know, Lamonius Craig, of course, he had received a crystal ball to go to Auburn. That happened 4 or 5 days ago. I haven't heard much since then. Hasn't been much hoopla since that came out. But what we've learned is that receivers want to come play for Coach Freeze and with Peyton Thorne. And of course, we already landed Burton from Ohio State. There's a lot to be excited about there. But I'm really looking forward to the potential of Auburn landing shorter because I think he helps his team out. And same with Lamonius Craig. Lamonius Craig, I think, is a massive upgrade for this wide receiver room. I just would prefer to have shorter if I had to pick between the two. But in the reality of the world right now, why not both?
Yeah, and with both those guys are both 6'2" as well. Mm-hmm. So your starting lineup at the wide receivers. So your outside guys will be the 6'6" Nick Marner, the 6'4", 6'5" Camden Brown, and then you have a 6'2" Jair Shorter or 6'2" Montana Lamonius Craig, who I guess you could go 4 wide, throw it in a tight end, but you also got to have a running back back there. Maybe just throw him with the O-line in anymore.
You got Fairweather out there too, 6 foot six, if not taller.
Yeah, wide receivers. I think Hugh Freeze has put together quite the wide receiver room, and I don't think he's done even in the slightest.
Yeah, and I want to make a comment on that. I've had a lot of the Auburn media personalities and just fans in general have been down on this wide receiver room, and that's one thing I've had a lot of pushback on that, in my opinion, and I'm going to go into why a little bit here. The spring game, I'm a big believer in throw it out the window. If you're in the camp of, you're going to play in rain sometimes, I can get behind that. But people that were bashing the wide receiver room, I think that Auburn threw 10 passes in the game. What were we supposed to take away from 10 passes? You can't really get a feel for this room there. And then even last season, some of these returners, Javarius Johnson is a really good wide receiver, and I don't think he's going to start this year. Camden Brown, we saw the flashes last year. He's going to be elite. I mean, he is going to be elite. He's going to make a lot of money one day. So I am very on the other side of this wide receiver discussion that I think Auburn's in a good spot. And the last part I'll say to it too is the ball wasn't getting put in a good spot for him last year. The quarterback play wasn't great. And not only that, the quarterback didn't have time to throw the ball. I think with the offensive line, it's a chain. It's like a food chain. The offensive line protects Thorne. Thorne's an upgrade, and Thorne's getting it to these receivers. If these receivers are able to get open, which I believe they can, the ball's going to be between the numbers thanks to Auburn landing Thorne. So I am not a person that agrees with the Auburn's wide receiver room is down.
Yeah, I've also been getting a lot of flack for my little bit of a sunshine pump on how good this Auburn roster actually is. I've been informed by one of my friends that I have paid too much attention to this roster to think it's going to be bad. But I look at it, I think the 8A game, you're right, they're out the window. Hugh Freeze even mentioned the week prior, don't expect too much. He's not going to show you his good stuff yet. That is going to be reserved for whenever the games really matter. So that's why we didn't see Camden Brown get the ball. Nick Bardner didn't get the ball thrown to him that much. Even when he did, it was really bad throws from T.J. Finley. He's gone now, so I can say that without a doubt. Yeah. And then we saw a great ball to Coy Moore. I think that's worth mentioning. Coy Moore is also going to be playing wide receiver for Auburn as well. This entire wide receiver room needs some respect put on their names, because this could be a very underrated class of receivers that we've seen from the Auburn Tigers, and a group as a whole that we've not seen from an Auburn team ever. Usually it's like one or two guys going off. I think the 2010 team was probably one of the best wide receiver rooms, because like Emory Blake, Terrell Zachary, and Darvin Adams. Then you have Lutzen Kirkin as well, tight end. I think that wide receiver room kind of is overshadowed by this one. So I think Auburn fans should be very excited in what they're getting with Peyton Thorne, a new offensive line, and some pretty daggum good wide receiver targets. And to get ready for basketball, which is going to – basketball season is coming up very soon. And by very soon, I mean maybe a few days away. And by a few days, I mean 4 months away. But before we get on basketball, I need to talk to you about our sponsor, NordVPN. This video is sponsored by NordVPN. Staying safe online is an ever-growing difficulty, and you could be exploited by hackers. NordVPN allows you to change your IP address, making you harder to track, securing your privacy. NordVPN is giving Auburn Daily listeners and readers a special deal. Check out the link in the episode description today to go check out NordVPN. But yeah, basketball season is always underway, and the transfer portal is actually getting way hotter than it was before, as Julian Phillips, Tennessee small forward, who is 6'8", has officially entered the NCAA transfer portal, and former five-star recruit for class 2022. A little bit, wasn't he? He was an Auburn lock before he flip to Tennessee. Am I reading that right?
Yeah, I'm still, it still hurts to be frank with you. And Julian Phillips, I thought he was an Auburn Tiger. And then that day came, and then there came the reports, Tennessee. And eventually he, of course, went to Tennessee. He averaged a little over 8 points a game, about 4.7 rebounds and a few assists last year for Tennessee. And he was a great player. He really was. He got to the rim. He got to the free throw line. He can shoot it when need be. And I think he went to Tennessee and said, this isn't for me. And he's going to hit the portal. He, of course, just hit the portal. And now he's trying to find a home. And the good news for him is he is in a position that Auburn needs a guy. He can play he's a natural three, but he can play the four. He's, you know, either. And I believe that he can come in and play the four or the three for Auburn right now. And that's what's so nice about this roster already. And, of course, there's a few more players that we're hoping to land soon. A lot of these guys are versatile players. Chaney Johnson can play the two, the three, the four, potentially even. Denver Jones can play the two and the three. Holloway can play the one and the two. There's so much. So all of these players can play other positions if push comes to shove, which you got to love for when foul trouble stuff happens, when different variables come into a basketball game, to know that you can compile a roster of players that can play all different positions and still give you great output. But I think the Tigers are going to go hard after Julian Phillips, and I think he would be a perfect piece to finish up the forward discussion after losing Flanagan and Trey Orr and all these different players. I think he'd be a perfect end to that discussion.
And, of course, missing out on Matthew Cleveland, who you both agreed that we really wanted Matthew Cleveland on the Auburn Tigers. But to talk about other transfer portal targets, Tyron Lawrence, it's worth mentioning that he was not on the NBA draft combine list. So all the talk about the NBA teams probably starting to die off a little bit. And it sounds like Auburn could be his best fit to land at. And what would you say Tyron Phillips would, or Tyron Lawrence, sorry, I'm mixing up transfer portal guys now. What do you think Tyron Lawrence brings to his Auburn Tiger team if he were to commit?
You know, he's a 6'4". He can play all the guard positions. I'm pretty sure he can play the three if need be. And that's, you know, talking more about this versatility of all these players. But Lawrence, he's a dog comment again, but he's got that dog in him. I loved watching him play. As soon as I saw that Auburn was going after him in the portal, I looked up the highlights. I, of course, remembered from when Auburn played Vanderbilt. But I looked at his highlights and was just really impressed. Because at first, when I saw him at the portal, I was like, that's not a guy that is going to help this team a ton. And then when I did more research into it, I said, we really want this guy. This guy can really help this basketball team. So I think, you know, and I'm pretty sure he's a 37% shooter from three. That means, so, you know, we talk about 3-point shooting as Auburn fans. We're forever going to be spoiled by the Bruce Brown and your Jabari Smiths and your Jared Harpers. We're forever going to have that engraved in our brain and want guys who can drain them. Luckily, we already have it with Holloway coming in, but Lawrence is a guy who can drain threes early and often. Shot a high percentage, but he can also get to the rim. So he's versatile in the position he plays, and versatile in the fact that he can shoot, get to the rim, pull up jump shots, makes his free throws. There's a lot to be excited about with him. And there's one more transfer target that we've reached out to. Former Marshall guard Andrew Taylor averaged 20.2 points a game last year at Marshall. Shot the three ball well. He shot the three ball well his whole career at Marshall. He was there for 4 years. And he just entered the portal. Within 3 hours of him hitting the portal, it was reported that Auburn was after him. This news, of course, broke before we found out that Tyron Lawrence hadn't been invited to the NBA Combine. So it'll be interesting to see if Auburn backs off now that Lawrence is back in play. But if Lawrence decides to go back to Vandy, test the NBA waters, whatever he decides to do, Taylor's a player who could come in and help this Auburn basketball team next year. But I think Tyron Lawrence is definitely the number one target at the guard position for this coaching staff.
Yeah, and just to talk about how both these players would attribute to this Auburn team next season, I'm just going to read off what I think the depth chart would look like. So your 1 and 2 is Aiden Holloway and Denver Jones. 3 and is worth mentioning. Jay Will and Jani Broom both. This is a world where they both come back. I don't. I believe it's probably the what's most likely going to happen is Jay Will and Jani come back. So your three would be Jay Will. Your four is a hopeful Julian Phillips. Five, you'd be playing Jani Broom. And then your sixth man, Trey Donaldson. Seventh and eighth, I guess, Chaney Johnson and Tyron Lawrence would just kind of interchange between that, just whoever's hot at that moment. But that roster in and of itself, I would say it, I don't want to say leagues better, but definitely an upgrade from last season.
Yes. And you still don't forget about old KD.
Oh, yeah.
KD is going to be back. And KD, you know, one thing I'll say about him, we've all been frustrated as Auburn fans by KD at one point or another, but he turned it on at the end of the year last year.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, you know, Cardwell is your backup five. You know, so do you think Jay Will, if Auburn lands Phillips, you think Jalen Williams plays the three? Or do you think they're kind of interchangeable?
I think they're interchangeable. They're about the same height.
I agree, yeah.
I would say just because Julian Phillips is a little more lanky, I think he'd be a more defensive threat, so I'd put him at the four.
I agree with you. And, you know, when you first said that, I was kind of like, I kind of like Jay Will at the four in that position. But Phillips is a better rebounder, and so that's what I agree with you. I like that plan of Jalen Williams at the three, Phillips at the four, if we of course land him, which, like I said, we don't even know if Auburn's going to reach out. You have to assume they will, especially with his roots with Coach Pearl. But yeah, I agree with you. I have Holloway at my one, Denver Jones at the two, and then I agree with you on the three, four, and five. Dylan Cardwell, we have to hope that he's just what he is. If he comes in and he gets you, I would love to see him take a step forward on the offensive side of the ball this year, though. If he could average 6 points a game, it sounds so little, but I just think that would help this team so much. If he could just dunk the ball three times per game, dunks energize the crowd, and, you know, he's great with alley-oops, and Holloway is a great disher of the alley-oop. So I think Cardwell is going to play, you know, a big role for this team, you know, because Broom's got to come get some rest at some point, of course. But I think if you land Lawrence or the Taylor kid for Marshall, I'd rather have Lawrence, but this Taylor kid is a great basketball player. If you land one of them and then you land Julian Phillips, I think this basketball team is back to competing for a regular season SEC title. And the last thing I'll add about the Julian Phillips situation that I found really interesting, we always say, you know, read between the lines on recruiting. Auburn was after a 2023 power forward named Mitchell Holmes. And he recently, I think the tweet came out 15 minutes before Phillips decided to enter the portal. It came out that Holmes was reclassifying back to 2024, moving back a year, which, read between the lines, Auburn was after him hard. They just offered him a couple of days ago. He was getting ready to schedule an official visit, which he still could potentially do that for the 2024 year. But you got to think, maybe the coaching staff said, hey, we got our guy. We got our guy, so back off. We'll come after you in 2024 or something like that. So read between the lines. It could be something that is a potential reason why Auburn's able to pursue Julian Phillips in the portal.
Yeah, and I got to be honest with Dylan Cardwell. I would not be opposed if Bruce Pearl just recruited like a middle of the pack, just a tall center, just a backup Jani Broom. Because I agree. I wish Dylan Cardwell would take that step forward. And we thought I was on a hype train the beginning of last season, but it just doesn't seem, because there were some games where I debated if he even knew how to play basketball or not.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, you know, I always say you got to love him. I mean, he is so fun to watch. I love when he goes to the football games and gets people. He's an Auburn man through and through. But I agree with you. That's why when we missed on – there was two players Auburn missed on that were centers, was Hoglinton from Marshall as well, actually, and he committed to Florida, I believe. And then a kid named Ben Middlebrooks, who was a Clemson player. He was a power forward slash center, and he committed to NC State. And the sad reality was I thought to myself, I would rather have both of those guys as our backup five to Broom, or you bring in that Hoglinton guy. He starts at your five, Broom starts at your four, and then Cardwell's your backup five. I mean, there was, I wish Bruce would have better pursued a backup center, because I agree. I would love to see Dylan take that step. next year into 6-7 points a game, 6 rebounds kind of guy, but I just don't see a world where that happens. I hope he proves me wrong, but that's my opinion on him for next season.
Yeah, and I think that's all we have for today's episode of the Auburn Daily Show. Go follow Andrew. Go, please do. If you're missing out, if you're not, because he's a great writer and he probably knows more about sports than I do, and that's probably not saying much, but believe me, he does. But with all that being said, I'm Dylan Lark, at Your Boy the Tank on Twitter. And Andrew, you want to shout yourself out anymore?
Yeah, if you want to check out my written work, it's of course at auburndaily.com, and you can follow me there on Twitter at Andrew Stefaniak.
Word. And with all that being said, this has been the Auburn Daily Show.